I'm getting nowhere fast, I can see that.
I did warn you, Phil.
But have you considered it?
The paddock, everything has been looked into, believe me. And we've come up with the same answer each time. It goes.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, you look smart tonight, Polly.
It's taking me out, actually.
Oh.
I'm only covering in here till Betty Tucker gets here. Now then.
A swift half for me, please. Paul?
Scotch and Rigel, please.
Coming up.
It just seems to me the land's an integral part of the property.
Phil, if there was a way not to part with it, I'd take it. But there isn't. So you want to start talking as a farmer instead of as my brother-in-law.
Well, how do you mean?
Ingratitude, I call it. Sharper than a servant's, what's it?
What's up, Mr. Gabriel?
Hey, Nevins and Ben Archer.
Oh, what's Dad been doing now?
Turning his nose up at high-protein grub.
Well, when was this?
A few hours back.
Finish your drink, gentlemen.
Ah, thanks.
I invite them over for a bumper deal. Top-class, tasty Norwegian eggs from Norway, and they only manages to shift half a plate for each.
Sounds as if they've done more than their duty. Is this part of that consignment you had dumped on you?
I've heard of people leaving babies on your doorstep. Never a lifetime supply of tin herring.
Yeah. It's just come to me, Polly.
Phil, to come back to my argument.
Phil, are you interested in the paddock or not?
Well, naturally I'd be interested. But there are a lot of things to go into first.
Well, you'll have to make up your mind pretty quickly, or it'll go to somebody else.
Marvelous idea, Steve.
Oh, I'm not just a pretty face. Oh. I'm just stand there goggling at it, Paul. Don't hop in.
I haven't been in a punt for ages.
And what better way to spend a lazy summer's evening, eh? A quiet stretch of river, a bottle of vino, and a master mariner at the punt pole.
It's a beautiful evening for it. Oh. Going out in a punt, I mean.
Well, sit tight while I get us out into midstream. Whoops.
Careful.
Yeah, momentary loss of balance, that's all. Yeah, I'm safe as houses on this flat bit. Now, in with the pole, and away! Ah. Yes, when I wondered where I'd take you for our celebration, something said Cryhampton straight away.
So calm here. So peaceful.
I thought I'd take you upstream past the race course, and then swing left towards that island. We can have a bit of togetherness in the long grass.
Try not to wave that pole around when you bring it out the water. Your trousers are soaked already.
Yeah, haven't found my rhythm yet. Ah. Oh, just think, Poldo. Rose Cottage let at last.
Only for 6 months.
Yeah, but the bona fide tenant.
Who are willing to stump up some of the rent in advance.
Oh, that's the bit that put the spring into my step. Hard cash on the nail.
Sid, if I were
Rodway
you...
Rodway and Watson have turned
I'd fall into the side of it.
Oh, must remember to thank
There's
you.
There's a rowing boat right behind you.
Hey, where? Oh. Go easy with them oars, mate. There's no need to drown us.
I did tell you to pull into the bank.
And let him pull into the bank. Road dog.
Look, don't get excited. You'll lose your concentration. You hear us?
Well, who's in charge of this punt, me or you? I'm the captain. No mutiny on the bounty stuff from you.
I was only going to suggest that we...
Oh, get up.
Those branches were very low. I thought you might have got tangled up in them.
That bloke's fault. One in the rowing boat trying to impress his bit of knitting with how fast he could go. If he hadn't put me off my stroke...
Would you like me to take a turn with the pole?
Huh? Well, later, perhaps. I'll fancy a laugh.
Now, look, Sid, that's
look,
not
Look, I
fair.
Can cope. You just flop back on the cushions.
Okay. No more cracks. Oh, it's lovely to lie back here without a care in the world. The punt was a stroke of genius.
Don't forget the extras, love.
The bottle of plonk, the hamper of light refreshments,
and most important of all...
the tartan blanket.
You said it. Of course, if you played your cards right, we could have had a few crates of Norwegian herring, too.
Oh, no, thank you.
Poor old Walter, eh? You just can't get rid of them, can I?
Mm. Aren't we too near those reeds?
Oh, stop trying to navigate, woman. You was the one who said get closer to the bank.
Oh, what's that?
Keep calm, love. It's only a couple of geese taken to the air. Oh. Hey, how do you fancy one of them roasted over an open fire? That's after I finish roasting Briggsy over the fire.
You promised
yeah,
you
sorry,
wouldn't...
Sorry. Put him out of my mind. It's a night for romance on the river.
Sid? There's a motorboat coming.
Yeah, well, I'm well clear of him, love. See, I'm going right in near the bank now.
Oh! Well, that made a big wave.
Hey, me pole's stuck in the mud.
I said we were too near those reeds. Leave go. You'll fall off.
Now, don't panic, love. Sydney's equal to any emergency. Now, listen, when we drift past that tree, grab a branch to slow us down, and I'll leap on the bank.
Well, I'm not sure.
Please,
that's
do as you're told. When I'm on the bank, I can go back and get the pole. Now, here's the branch. Grab! And I jump!
It's a good thing you can swim. That tartan plank isn't going to come in useful after all.
Yeah, Tony. Yeah, everyone's right into you this morning, mate.
I'll put them on the side, Harry.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just finish here.
You've got bills, circulars, postcards. There's a magazine, a letter from Pat, and a Billy Dew from the beauteous Betty, suggesting a dirty weekend at the Milk Recorders Convention.
Ha ha, very funny. But she prefers to be called Libby.
Oh, Betty the Bounce or Libby the Luscious adds up to the same thing.
Now listen, Harry, for the last time...
Yes, we know, old son. It's an optical illusion. She only seems to be your bit of workers' playtime. Still, joking apart, I bring you good news this morning.
It'll be welcome.
Hayden Evans has finally seen the light.
You mean that...
Yeah, we're business partners. Harry Booker's second-hand cars will soon be making their appearance on the garage forecourt. They'll hide the weeds there for a start.
Well, I wouldn't have thought there was a great demand for second-hand cars around here.
Well, I shall create a demand by offering irresistible bargains. I reckon I'm onto a winner.
Sure. Cricket, soccer, working at the shop, helping at the youth club, doing your own job, and now cars. You keep busy, Harry.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to discuss with you. Something's got to go. I must lighten my load somehow, so I've decided it'll be the soccer team.
Well, you can't give it up altogether.
Oh, no, I'll still turn out on Saturday and collect me weekly warning from the ref. But I won't be able to run it as I have been doing.
But we elected you captain again for next season.
Yeah, well, I'll have to stand down, won't I? It's too big a responsibility, Tony. Too time-consuming. Someone else's turn to have headaches over whether or not we can field 11 players. And since you're the vice-captain...
No.
Oh, but they'd respond to your leadership. They'd work for you at training session.
Yeah, maybe they would. But I'm in the same boat as you. Far too much to do and far too little time to do it in. I'll play as often as I can, but that's it.
At least think it over.
Sorry, but it's not on. Apart from anything else, the future's so uncertain.
Well, Pat's mother and that.
Not to mention our wanting a bigger farm. Nope, you'll have to look somewhere else, Harry. I couldn't dream of running the Ambridge soccer team.
Real poorly, according to Mrs. Elliot.
I know, Martha.
There they were, just starting to look forward to their retirement, and this happened. Oh, it's a shame, Mrs. Aldridge.
I don't know how they're managing at Bridge Farm without him.
Oh, they've had to bring somebody else in to look after the place.
Oh.
Mr. Sinclair arranged it. Not that he had men to spare at this time of the year.
Quite.
And how's Adam after the scare, yeah?
Oh, fully recovered, thank you.
And young Debbie?
Oh, full of beans. She's trying to persuade us to let her go to this pony camp at the end of the month, and she'll take Moonbeam along with her.
Oh, I suppose the attraction is sleeping under canvas with all the other youngsters.
And having a whole weekend without any jobs around the house.
Oh, suit me, that.
Oh, hello, Joby.
Hello,
Martha. Hello.
How do I sign on for this weekend without any chores?
By going to the pony camp.
You're a bit long in the tooth for that kind of thing, Joby.
Oh, well.
Can't see you sleeping on the ground when you've got chance of a proper bed.
Oh, I'm not daft, am I? Besides, I got a thing again camping at the moment, after the trouble we've been having in the woods.
There's barbed wire all round the woods and big signs warning you off.
Ah, that has no effect these days. Kids ignore all that if they want a place to set up a tent for the night. We've had dozens camping out.
But they're risking prosecution.
Oh, that don't worry me, dear. They comes and goes as they please, some of them.
Well, we can't please the whole woodland, far too big. I wouldn't mind if we were just spending a night there and moving on. But they make such a mess. And there's the other danger.
Fire.
Only want some fool to be careless with matches.
Yes.
Still, I won't burden you with my problems. And I'm sure this pony camp is a different affair altogether.
Oh, it's properly organised. Adult supervision over the whole weekend.
So what did you do, Sid?
Well, only thing I could. Ignored the jeers of the people on the bank, waded back to get our pole, and then moved the punt up to the island.
He sat huddled in a tartan blanket while we had wine and chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, which wasn't quite what he'd planned, I dare say. Oh, still, as long as he had a sympathetic woman on hand.
Oh, she was sympathetic, all right. She led the laughter. Mind you, it must have been funny. I looked like a dying duck in a thunderstorm.
And it was a lovely picnic.
Ah, smashing.
Well, it might be easy if you stick to dry land next time.
Excuse me, Harry.
Oh, hello there, Shula. A lady buying her own booze? Oh, we can't have that. Here, allow me.
Actually, I'm buying for someone else, too.
Yeah, Mr. Simon Parker.
Tucked away in the corner over there.
Of course, if you insist on buying us both a drink.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Unless he happens to want a second-hand car.
Not just now, thanks.
Ah, here's someone you can buy a drink for, Harry. All right, Joby?
Oh, hello there. Yeah, I will, too. I've got a favour to ask you, Joby.
Oh, thanks, Harry. A pint, please.
Righto.
What's the favour?
Well, try cheering up, for starters.
Oh, you got a face like Fulton's, Joby.
Yeah, what's happened? Has that shelter of yours been stolen? Or just vandalised?
No, nothing like that. Sad news, that's all.
I think I can guess what.
Heard about it not long since. It was Mr. Sinclair who passed on the word.
Yesterday, Auntie Gwyneth took him out for the afternoon and really spoiled him. Oh, John loved it. Oh, he still misses you terribly, Tony. So do I.
Well, that cuts both ways.
Yeah, but why are you ringing me again today? We agreed to watch the phone calls because of the expense.
Yeah, we did, but I had something to tell you, Pat.
You're miserable without me. I know. Mum says you're a saint doing this for her sake.
How is she?
Better this week.
Oh, good.
She says having John round the house is a tonic.
Yeah, it's one I could do with.
Oh, well, we'll pop home for a day or so soon, love. If Mam's all right to be there.
Now, coming to my news...
Auntie Gwyneth sends her love, by the way.
Look, can we scrub round the small talk? I didn't ring for a chat.
Sorry, I thought you just wanted the pleasure of hearing your wife.
Yeah, of course I did, love. But there was something else. And it may be very important for us. Jim Elliot.
I knew it. He's decided to leave Bridge Farm at last.
It's rather been decided for him, Pat. Jim Elliot died earlier today.
Oh, dear.
And that may mean a great deal to us. And that's why I've run.
Now, you've made a wise decision, Hayden.
That'll be a change.
I'm hoping to get the first couple of cars sometime next week.
Where from, Harry?
Now, that'll be telling.
Hey, now, look,
All open and above board, mate. I'm not trying to offload stolen ones or anything stupid like that. I get them from a friend of a friend of a friend. Twice removed.
I believe you. The best place to put them would be over there, where you suggested.
Yeah, you'll have to clear those weeds away first, though. Oh, looks bad, that. Quality cars half hidden by scented mayweed. You know, if you'd had the asphalt laid properly in the
first... Now, don't, Harry. I say the same thing to myself every night in English and Welsh.
I won't labour it, then. Oh, and I'll arrange for a couple of lads to come now and again.
Lads?
Yeah, from the youth club. In return for a small consideration, they'll come and give the cars a polish.
Huh.
Got to have my vehicles at their gleaming best. And they're reliable kids, they won't be any bother.
Fair enough.
Well, brighten up, mate. Aren't you excited at the prospect of taking on a new partner?
Well, yes. But what's worrying me is that I may be losing an old one.
Eh?
Tony. You must have heard the news.
Oh, Jim Elliot snuffing it, you mean, yeah. Yeah, that was tough. He's a nice old fella. A blow for his missus.
And maybe a blow for me. If Bridge Farm comes on the market and Tony goes after it.
Mm.
Ah, well, have to wait and see as well.
Oh, plenty of time before anything happens. Farms don't change hands in 5 minutes.
Hello, Harry.
Oh, hello,
oh, hello, Dan.
Here he is, my first customer for a second-hand car.
Another time, Harry.
I do part exchange, you know. If you want to unload this beaten-up wreck for something resembling a top-notch automobile...
What do you mean? Only bought my car last year. Hey, have you sorted out the soccer team captaincy yet?
Ages ago, they elected Harry again.
Oh, Marilyn's declared that election null and void. She's using strong-arm tactics to make me find more time for the family. I'm taking a back seat with the soccer team.
Tony's the obvious choice. He's vice-captain.
Too busy. What about Peter Stevens?
No, he's got himself tied up with his bird in Borchester.
Well, there's Mike Tucker, or Richard Adamson, or Neil Carter, even.
They're all in the same position as me. Willing to play, but not to sit in the driving seat.
Hey, have you thought of Gordon Armstrong?
Yeah, he's my only hope.
But he's a real clogger on the field. He got sent off twice last season.
It is a captain and a coach I'm looking for. Gordon could skipper the side while he was on the park, then coach him from the touchline when he got sent off. Oh, seriously, I think the responsibility might do him good. Put him on his best behaviour.
Oh, it's worth a try.
Ah, well, that's my motto. On which note, I wish you both the top of the morning and toddle off with these letters. Now, don't forget the weed, Gillade.
I won't.
Cheerio now.
Oh, and Dan?
Oh, a couple of gallons of the cheap stuff for the mower, please. Aye. Aye. I'll get the can out of the boot.
Hello.
You don't need me, Jill. I'm absolutely snowed under with work today.
You can spare 5 minutes for tea, surely.
Jennifer, I've got to get over to Hollertree, then drive on to a meeting with George Williams, then see the ADAS.
All right, I get the message. You just don't want to meet her.
I do, but I'm a bit pushed today.
If Jennifer was going off for a long weekend in Paris...
Oh, just give me the
I bet Brian would be interested to know who she was going with. But does Philip Archer care?
I'll get back if I can.
A concession?
Well, that's all I can promise. I want to meet this Sheila Ferguson, but work comes first.
I understand, darling. You do your various bits and bobs and see how it goes.
We'll expect you at 4.
Well, don't bank on it. Look, I'm sorry to doubt, but it's just one of those days.
Bye. Wouldn't give much for your chances, Jill. My own fault, really. I frightened him off.
How?
By threatening to try on my new outfits when she came. And she's bringing some of her holiday gear across.
The Paris 1977 collection
from the House of Brookfield. Let me put the kettle on again. Wasn't it sad about Mr. Elliot?
Mrs. Elliot's taken it badly, I hear.
Of course.
As well, her son's come home to look after her to a funeral. She's got no one else.
It must be a trying time for her.
One thing, ends all the speculation about Bridge Farm.
Not necessarily.
Well, it's been ready and waiting for a new tenant now. Mrs. Elliot can't run it.
Well, May decided to take it over himself.
Last time they were here, Lillian was dropping very broad hints to Tony about it.
It would be marvellous if it worked out that way. He and Pat deserve some good luck after what they've been through with her mother.
Yes, yeah, starting to get them down.
Pat was saying that at the fete.
If only her mother were nearer.
Mm.
Anyway, turning to brighter things, didn't I get a preview?
Of what?
Well, these new clothes I've heard so much about. Shula tells me they make you look like a swinging spinster of 25.
A married widow of 35, maybe, but that's about it. Well, when I've made some more tea, I'll slip them on.
What's she like, by the way, this Sheila Ferguson?
Oh, she's fun, a real extrovert. When she gets cracking over there, those French gentlemen won't know what hit them.
Well, your shelter's still standing, Joby. Well, I'm hoping it'll last a bit longer than a few weeks. Hey, look at that. BJ loves RW. Somebody couldn't wait to get busy with his penknife. Can't keep their hands off things, can they? When I made my speech about... Hey, this chap is shifting, isn't he?
Making a fair racket, too.
Hello, he's stopping. Then I'll ask him if he's ever heard of such a thing as a speed limit. Hey, now listen, mister...
The name is Sheila.
He's a woman.
A damsel in distress, actually. The thing is, I'm going to France.
You're way off course then, Mrs.
I'm going to France with Jill Archer. She invited me over to somewhere called Brookfield.
Ah, you must be Sheila Ferguson then.
I am, even though I look a bit like my son. Not surprising, it's his bike.
Your son's?
Well, Graham took to borrowing my car, so I decided to pinch his motorbike. It's much more fun, like riding a wild horse. Have you ever done the Tum?
Not recently, no.
Oh, you should. One of life's real experiences.
We'll take your word for it.
It gets the adrenaline going. I go everywhere on two wheels now. Which reminds me, am I anywhere near Brookfield?
Very near. But I leave Mr. Archer to direct you.
Another Archer?
One of many. Jill's father-in-law.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Mr. Archer. I couldn't have asked a better person, obviously.
Well, I'll leave you to it. Must get back.
Cheers, Joby.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs.
Now, point me to Brookfield and stand clear.
Straight on down here. Take the first left and follow your nose. You can't miss it. I'm on my way there now, and it'll only take me 5 minutes to walk. You'll be there in seconds.
Then you'll be with me. Hop on the back, Mr. Archer.
Thanks all the same,
I've got a spare crash helmet.
I think I'd rather walk.
Coward. Well, I may see you there. Thanks for the direction. Bye.
Goodbye.
Yep. Where does that maniac think he is? In the TT Razors?
What? That maniac was Mrs. Sheila Ferguson. She's the one who's going to Paris with Jill.
Dressed like that?
I dare say she'll leave the gear behind.
Colin Drury would have booked her for reckless driving if he'd seen her.
If he'd been able to catch her.
The point.
Well, I'm off to Brookfield myself.
Oh, give Phil a nudge if you see him, please. The Ambridge Chorale. We need another rehearsal sometime.
He's pretty busy at the moment, but I'll pass on the message. When he comes round.
After what?
The shock of meeting Sheila Ferguson. When he sees who he's letting loose on Paris with Jill, he's in for a real surprise. Well, cheers for now.
All fixed then, is it?
Yeah, I'll have to twist his arm a bit more, that's all.
But Gordon will take it on.
Aye, eventually. He was quite tickled by the idea of being top dog in the Ambridge Wanderers.
Give him something to boast to his girlfriends about.
He'll have to ration his love life a bit. We can't have the local maiden sapping the strength of our skipper.
He reckons it's all part of his training schedule.
Aye, well, we'll see. Have you had a chance to think about that other matter?
Ah, no trouble. When are they wanted?
Oh, not for the end of the month. Our trial match isn't until the first Saturday in September.
And what about measurements and that?
Oh, I can do better than that, Joby. I brought your little diagram here. I hope it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I think so. You want 4 wooden sockets to set in the ground.
Yeah, that's it. At the moment, the goalposts are just shoved in holes in the ground.
I'll manage easy.
Ah, thanks, Joby.
As long as you get Dan Archer to make another speech when they're unveiled.
Yeah, I'll get the vicar to bless them if you like. He's in the team.
A useful player, too. He was talking to me about the church.
Yeah, well, that's a nasty habit Vickers has.
Oh, this theft, I mean.
Oh, yeah, they nabbed the thief, but he'd got shot of what he'd nicked.
Only a young chap, too. What kind of fellow would rob a church?
The kind who doesn't know how difficult it is to sell things like offertory plates. Well, duty beckons. I must be homeward bound. Oh, by the way, next time you're felling dead trees, give us a shout, will you? We use logs. It's a terrible waste for you to burn it.
What are you on about?
Well, that fire, of course.
Where?
On the other side of the woodland. I saw the smoke as I drove round.
There shouldn't be a fire there.
Well, I thought your lad was thinning out the deadwood and burning up...
Where was this, Harry? There shouldn't be any smoke there.
Well, it was just there.
Close your eyes. They are closed. I put on my sexiest walk and... Well, open them. Jill! Oh, I say. My dear, what's the verdict? It's a bit daring, Sheila.
You know what they keep telling us. It pays to advertise.
I thought one of my blouses was eye-catching, but if you wear that down the Champs-Élysées, I shan't get so much as a look in.
Nonsense. We compliment one another.
You fetching them in and me frightening them off.
Depends what you do to frighten them off. Yes, red silk does something for me.
What there is of it. Not that I'm criticising you. On the contrary, I admire your bravery. Has your husband seen them?
He helped me choose them.
Me doesn't mind.
Of course not. He wants his wife to be seen at her best. Jeff's my fashion advisor, like Phil advises you about your clothes, I expect.
The only advice he gives is to keep down the cost. Oh, that's him, probably. Look, do you think you ought to slip upstairs and change back
I'm not shy. Let him see me as I am. Oh, you must be Philip. I've been dying to meet you.
Oh, I see. How do you do?
This is Sheila.
Yes, I get that, darling. Well, I managed to get back in time for tea, as I promised.
I'm over here, Phil.
Yeah?
Try taking your eyes off Sheila for a moment, and you may see me.
He's been giving me the compliment of his attention, haven't you?
Yeah.
Perhaps I ought to go home on the motorbike wearing this.
Stampede the cows. Well, sit down, Phil. And try closing your mouth. It looks unwelcoming.
Yes. Sorry. Well, it's nice to meet you at last.
Even though I'm one of them.
One of them?
The enemy. I'm a townie. One of those appalling people who'd much rather follow anything than the country code. I pollute your air with my exhaust fumes, I forget to close gates behind me, and I'm a champion litterbug.
Stop pulling his leg, Sheila.
In farming circles, I'm a great lowerer of the tone. I thought Phil ought to know before letting you associate with me.
You seem to be an ideal person to take on holiday.
Is that a proposition?
Not even you could get him on holiday.
Oh, just the same. His idea of a holiday is to spend a fortnight turning up at the office in beachwear.
I'm not that bad. And I'm glad Jill's found someone to go with. Especially someone like you. I back her all the way. Only the meanest husband to stop his wife having a nice, well-earned, let-your-hair-down weekend in Paris.
There's something she hasn't told you.
Sheila's been back to the travel agent.
Wearing this blouse, actually. It seemed to work.
I'm not quite with you.
That long weekend, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
It got rather longer. There was a cancellation at our hotel, and the terms were so much better if we stayed a bit longer.
Yes, well, stay as long as you like, darling.
I knew you'd be adult and understanding. That's why I made a provisional booking. It's for an additional week. So, altogether, we'll be in Paris for 10 days now.
Oh.
Is that your husband's natural colour, Jill?
Got through here, Harry.
It's funny. I thought it was further to the left when I drove past earlier.
Must have spread.
Oh, this wind won't help matters either.
Oh, the smoke is really billowing up.
We better find the fire itself. Quick. Straight ahead.
What idiot started this, I wonder?
I don't know. But it was much easier to start than it will be to stop. Oh, look, there's the culprit.
That old hollow tree. Burning like hell.
Aye, it's spread to the bracken and those smaller trees.
We'll try beating out the bracken with these.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, Joby. We'll never get this lot under control. Oh, that hollow tree's gone now. Come back, man, it's hopeless.
You're right. This is no job for us. We've got to call the fire brigade.
The Archers, written by Keith Miles, script editor Charles Lefeu, was produced in our Birmingham studios by Tony Shrine.